And this is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in with the Morning Market Report. Take a look at what's been happening in Chicago at the CME Group. But let's start with what the national average basis for corn is. As usual, unchanged at 20 cents under the July contract. While the DTN National Corn Index was up 3 cents, cash price at $4.33 nationwide. The national average basis for beans unchanged at 20 cents over the August contract. And the DTN National Soybean Index was down 7 cents, trading across the nation at $13.90. Now here's Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City with an update of today's agricultural weather forecast.
During the course of the weekend, we saw hefty amounts of rain occur in quite a few areas. The most significant, of course, was in eastern Nebraska and western Iowa, where over 4 inches of rain was reported at official locations, and Doppler radar suggesting even heavier amounts in some areas. The precipitation was part of a larger scale event that impacted a large part of the Midwest starting late last week, starting first in the upper parts of the region and working its way southward as time went along. And we do have a large percentage of the region that still way too wet now, but things are going to change. The pattern's going to become a little bit better, a little less intensive on the rainfall and a little bit less persistent, and we'll also see temperatures staying warm through a big part of the forecast period taking us through next week. And so the end result here is that yes, we're still going to deal with excessive moisture in some locations, and we do have at least a several day period here of additional rainfall across a big part of the Midwest. But as we move along in time, we should see the lighter intensities occurring at the same time that our temperatures continue to be consistently in the 80s, maybe even getting into some lower 90s once in a while. That means evaporation rates between rain events will be high enough that we will see progress made working away from the excessive moisture situation, and crops will eventually respond quite favorably to the environment that they're in. Those areas that are, of course, are underwater is a whole different story, and some crop damage may have occurred to the point of permanently injuring some of the crops. And some replanting would be necessary if we could do it, but it's pretty late in the year, so it's probably not going to happen. But I think the overall bottom line is still quite favorable for a big part of the Midwest. Most of the eastern areas have not been subjected to excessive amounts of rain. Certainly the western areas have, but we've seen this happen in years past where we've had some flooding occurring in the spring, and everyone's gotten a little concerned about it. But a few weeks down the road, it all of a sudden looks much better, and the crops are doing quite well. And I think that we're going to see something like that take place here as we move forward through July. We're still speculating a little bit about ridginess around during the month of July, but as far as a persistent dominating ridge that's going to settle in one particular location and stay there for a long period of time, that is not likely. We will see higher heights, and we will see some ridge building across parts of the region, but it most likely would be progressive moving ridges so that we have short-term bouts of dry and warm weather followed by opportunities for showers and thunderstorms and slightly cooler conditions. It's really the perfect scenario for many areas, and I fully expect to see our crops continuing to evolve in a favorable manner. Those that are subjected to the excessive moisture right now will see some improvement as we move forward through the next couple of weeks. There's always that risk that we may run into something a little bit more dry and warm than what we're describing here, but with the weather pattern being what it is right now, the amount of moisture that's in the soil, the potential for feedback into the atmosphere, and also an active jet stream being suggested in the 18-year cycle, there's very little reason for us to be gravely concerned about the prospects of going over the edge here on the other extreme, getting too hot and too dry. I just don't think that that's something that we have to worry much about for now. But everybody in the Midwest will get rain at one time or another over the coming week. We'll look for rain totals running 1 to 2 inches in quite a few areas. Most it will be 1/2 to 1.5 inches, and there'll be some localized totals that will probably get upwards to 3 inches or more. Next week, though, 1/4 to 3/4 inch rains and local totals to 1.5 inches will occur, with coverage dropping down to 75% and maybe even less in some locations. Our temperatures will be in the 80s on a regular basis across the Midwest, a few upper 70s in the far north, a few lower 90s in the south, but the bottom line is still looking very good for the majority of crops across the region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from Busey. Busey and its associates remain committed to lending a helping hand, with contributions of more than $1 million and countless volunteer hours each year to better the communities where we live and work. Busey, your dream, our promise.
In Chicago at this hour, corn futures are trading about 4 cents lower for the day. Soybeans are up 5 in the deferreds. Nearby contract up about 7. The November is up 6.25, by the way. And the wheat futures are just about unchanged. And the live cattle futures, 45 cents lower. Feeder cattles are down about 40 cents. And lean hogs are 60 cents lower in the August contract. On the phone line with us this morning is not Aaron Curtis, who's out of the office, but rather Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good morning to you, Matt. How are you today?
Good morning, Todd. I'm great.
Well, I was looking at my Twitter feed, or that which was coming from other people, and a couple of things I made note in Whitehall, which is over in the western part of Illinois. Some April 1 corn is now tasseling in the state at home in Logan County, where I was over the weekend. My childhood home, that is, at Dad's place on the farm. The sweet corn patch across the street had, across the road, had already tasseled, and it was in full shed. So we're in the midst of what looks to be a really good summer so far.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the weather in our part of the world definitely has been excellent. I know there's some areas that it hasn't, but for the most part in the Corn Belt, most people feel pretty good about where their crop is, as well as the weather right now. And really looking forward, I know there's a little bit of ridging hinted in, you know, maybe like the 10 to 14 day, but again, that's a little bit farther away than where we need to be right now as far as how, you know, how serious we look at that. And I think bottom line is things look great, and guys are looking, you know, maybe crop conditions will drop a little bit today, but for the most part, things are looking really good.
In the December corn contract, we've been up to 457 and a quarter for the high price on the day, currently trading at $4.48 and a quarter. Given what the size of the crop might be for this fall, I suppose that doesn't look like a terrible price.
No, that's right. You know, this is a kind of a catch-22. I know there a couple of weeks ago we were talking on Commodity Week. When we're under the insurance price this early in the growing season, you hesitate to make a lot of sales, you know, but the guys are also stopping and thinking, you know, if these 75% good to excellent ratings, you know, translate into a 168, you know, 172 national crop or something crazy, which is possible. You know, obviously, those sale prices could look, you know, excellent this fall.
What is your pulse on demand for both corn and soybeans? Does it remain fairly strong in the United States?
Well, I think it does. I think the demand is excellent. I think that the thing you got to remember, you know, when you're looking at the corn crop is we have ample supplies of corn. Even though basis levels have been excellent, a person needs to understand it's not simply because, you know, we don't have a lot of supplies, because guys have been tight holders. You know, whenever you look at the soybean situation, it's extremely tight. And I think guys are wondering next week whether we'll come in and show an even tighter situation, or, you know, there's always the chance that the government might come out and say, hey, you know what, last year's crop was just a little bit bigger. We're going to be all right for now. So, well, right now it's a pretty interesting mix of things to look at.
Yeah, that, of course, you're referring to the grain stocks report that's due out on June the 30th, along with the acreage numbers. What do you think about the acreage? Has it changed? Did it change?
You know, that's a great question. All of us have been wondering about that. And I think my opinion on that is we probably picked up a few acres where guys were able to plant early and aggressive. And I think we lost some acres, of course, in the upper Midwest. When we throw it all together, you know, I'm still going to be, in my opinion, under 91.7, but not much. You know, it's pretty tough to put a number on it. But, you know, whenever you look at all the preventive plant that came back from last year, and then guys are talking preventive plant this year, I think we don't have near as much as last year. So the grand sum of acreage, I think, is probably going to be a little bit bigger than the intentions. But I think most of the gain there, if not, you know, really all the gain, in my opinion, is going to be on soybean.
All right. Well, thanks so much for filling in for us this morning. And we'll talk with you again in 1 week on Monday morning, too.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. Joined us here on the opening market report from Illinois Public Media. Of course, you can find us online at willag.org, or if you're looking for the radio and television stations in total, visit will.illinois.edu. We are WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 in Urbana. Coming up on the top of the hour, it will be 9 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. Corn futures in Chicago are down 4.25 cents. cents in the lead option July at $4.49 at this hour. Last tick on the September, 3.75 lower at $4.44.5. And December futures are the new crop at $4.48.5, 3.5 cents lower. The May of next year at $4.65.5, 3.5 lower. And July down four at $4.71.5. July soybeans at $14.21.5, up 5.75. August at $13.69, 7.5 cents higher. November beans 12.38 and a quarter, up 6.75. And January futures up 6.75 at $12.45. Next year's July at $12.58, up 5.25. From the bean meal, $4.58.50 in the lead option July, down 70 cents. Lead option July oil at $40.42. That's bean oil, down or rather up 29. And the wheat futures for the day are trading the July contract in the soft red winter at $5.83 and 3/4. That's down a penny and a half. The hard red in the July at $7.21 and a quarter, a half cent higher. July, or rather June, live cattle at $147.55 are down 45 cents. August live cattle at $146.32 and a half are not trading at this hour. And then as we look forward to the outside markets, we'll see the crude oil futures at $106.30 a barrel. They're down 53 cents. The RBOB price of gasoline or wholesale at $3.11 and 2 cents. That's a penny and a half lower. Ethanol futures at $2.04, down 2.8. And the spread between the two is $1.05 and 7 cents wide. That's a penny and 2 cents wider than it was yesterday. And diesel fuel at $3.03, down a penny and 8 cents.